This is Iconic with your hosts JM, Mark, and Nick.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host JM, and with me as always are Nick and Mark.
Hey.
Hello.
This week we have a great show for you. In Tour de Realms, we are actually looking at the Dragon Empire for the first time, specifically the City of Access. Let's head into Tour de Realms.
Tour de Realms.
So you can find Access in the Core Rulebook, in 13 True Ways, and in the Crusader's Fist. Nick, why don't you give us a brief overview of Access?
Well, on page 261 of the Core Book, it says, Access is a city of wonders, military power, and martial competition. Gladiatorial games, skirmishes between noble houses, and staged holy wars hone the fighting spirit of an empire built on conquest. So I think that gives a nice flavor for what the city is supposed to be. It's the home of the emperor. It's where the Dragon Empire is ruled from. Very heavily steeped in combat, gladiatorial games, murder, mayhem, all of that type of stuff can be found there. People come from all over to get good equipment, to test their mettle with others, and be hired as mercenaries or whatnot, have you, to go around and go off on adventuring parties.
Yeah, I really see Rome when I was reading the intro to Access.
Yeah. And one interesting description about that, too, about Access is, unlike a lot of places where, oh, look at that heavily armored dude carrying lots of weapons, it's kind of normal in Access. It's don't bat an eye at all. A lot of violence, fights. It's okay.
I liked how it said how the guards at the gate may look you over if you come in looking really rough, but they figure that the inhabitants of the city would do better, taking care of you if you started causing a ruckus.
Yeah, it's not. Well, it is the center of the Dragon Empire. It is definitely not the polished, refined center of the Dragon Empire. There is a level of barbarity just below the surface. So, Mark, you said you wanted to chat about the arenas. So,
yes, because, as our little quote, the early emperors understood that people need games of war to remain fit and true for the battle. So they have arenas where they have gladiatorial combat. Some interesting ones, they talk about, I don't know if it's Kjess or Jess, K-J-E-S-S, however you'd spell that or say that. It's in a living arena board game with living pieces. So I kind of look at that as the ultimate living chessboard at its finest. Now, you've probably seen some, picture, like New York Central Park with those huge chess games where the pieces are huge and somebody moves them as you make your thing. Here you have people that stand there and like, oh, well,
sucks
knight,
to be
knight,
a pawn.
Knight to queen, yeah, whatever. Well, and then they talk about the pawns there. And if you're a pawn and you live and do well, you can get some notoriety there. Usually pawns are but it'd be interesting how you're working out. Is it, okay, this piece moves in, it should take that piece, but or is there combat? And
I would
winner,
totally run it as combat.
The combat, and the winner wins. So just because you move your knight to that square doesn't mean the knight wins and takes out your pawn. Your pawn might take your knight out.
See, that would be a cool encounter to have one player, come up with the rules for the game, have one player be the have one character be the player of the game, and then all of the other PCs be the pieces on the board. And so the strategist kind of controls the movement and tries to set up to win, but the actual player has to fight the round of combat to see, most damage or something like that to take out the other piece.
Talking about pawns, they talk about in their description, the Fighting Pawn is one of the city's best-known taverns. And a lowly pawn who turns out to be an imperial bastard is a stock figure of bardic romance. And then, of course, there's so many ways to bet on it that it's quite popular with the darker side of the town.
Yes.
Betting. And then you have Stick It, another game. And I kind of look at that as kind of like when you play paintball, capture the flag. Everybody's running around trying to protect your flag and take the other person's flag. Of course, combat's in there, and you have javelins and small shields and lots of bloody bodies flying around. So that one's good. And then we have Tusk, named after Axe's greatest past gladiators, Citizen Tusk. They said somewhat racist but hardly appreciated celebration of the fact that one half-orc, carefully chosen perhaps, can kick the ass of several less hardy warriors. Also probably carefully chosen. So that's, I just kind of picture that as our modern WWE brother.
Or a put a PC in there against a bunch of Moogs and see who.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it would be is, you know, you he goes in there and Moogs are just lower level minion types and see
who comes out.
Who comes out.
You could run a really great game set in the arenas of Axis. Watch Spartacus or Rome.
Have a whole city adventure. You know, any of these larger cities you could do. Especially like Axis, where violence is just, it's okay. Yeah, you could be a gladiator, you know, and maybe your team helps you get through things, maybe side bets and healing and, you know, is it against the rules for certain magical effects to help a fighter or how do you do it?
Yeah. As long as you don't get caught, right?
Yeah, so you don't get caught.
All right, Nick, what else does Axis have for GMs and players?
A little bit of environment flavor. It is set inside of an ancient volcano.
Okay.
So maybe you want that volcano to not be quite so dormant, and maybe the city is starting to feel rumbles, and maybe the ancient fire spirit is slowly starting to wake up, or the magical things that are keeping it bound and hidden and locked away are starting to erode and fade. I don't know. There's a lot of hooks right there in just the setting. So you've got the city inside of a volcano. You've got a river kind of on one side, and you've got the sea on the other side. And above it, you've got this solid cloud mass where the metallic dragons live.
Yeah.
I was just thinking your Spirit of the Mountain from the previous episode, if you listened to them in order.
Well, and the that would be a great tier arc. You know, adventurer tier, you start off as gladiators. City starts tremble right about the time where the players have achieved notoriety in the gladiator arena. The Archmage approaches them for the champion tier. Go out and figure out what's disrupting this ward, or delve under the city and try and find where the wards were at and see, you know, re-strengthen them to save the city. And then depending on that champion tier, either the epic tier is Axis and Ruins, or you've uncovered something else and...
There's a troglodyte underneath the cavern. It's got some fungaloids. Yeah. And
well, and 13 True Ways goes into a lot of detail about the different subsections of the cities as well. So you've got the place where all of the peasants live, and every once in a while the soldiers will go through and just totally clean it out.
Practice.
Whatever is a good excuse for the day. Yeah. you've got the areas where the merchants live, where the merchants do their business, where the uppity-ups live. You got the emperors and his multiple palaces. And there's a lot of, you know, depending on what sort of campaign you want to run, if you want to do more social espionage type stuff, you could have it be a trying to gain the emperor's attention and approval and have him maybe buy your land. It talks a little bit in there about you don't want to be unpopular enough that the emperor just totally ignores you, but you don't want to be so popular that he does buy it out from under you, because then you're homeless and you've got to start at the bottom and work your way back up again.
Does he really buy it, or do you gift it to him?
He gets a great deal on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things we're going to do with the Tour de Realms, where we're looking at the cities, is kind of look at each one as either a touchstone for your campaign, or as Nick and Mark have been talking about, setting your whole campaign in this city. And that's one of the nice things about the Dragon Empire cities. They're just fleshed out enough that you have plenty of hooks to develop an entire campaign for, while still providing you a lot of leeway to customize it. And on page 115, you're given a couple of thematic alternatives to kind of Axis as presented. So definitely check those out.
Definitely. And I would get the 13, you're talking about the 13 True Ways?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, yeah. And I like the Rob's, in his campaign, how he has basically the dragons run the arenas.
The
brass and the silver, and, you know, different arenas are run by them. And I think any of the major cities have so much there for intrigue, because the other icons are going to be involved somehow.
Yeah.
Spies, either allies, or again, you're going to have spies. Even if you're an ally, you're going to have spies. There's a lot of intrigue and things going on.
It would be interesting to do the gladiator, you know, the dragon-controlled gladiator stables, kind of like in Byzantium, where you had the blues and the greens, and they were kind of the main stables for chariot races and so on and so forth. And they ended up wielding a lot of political power. So you could have the coppers and the brass and the golds.
Yep.
So Mark mentioned iconic involvement, and Axis is no stranger to the Icons meddling with it. As Nick said, it's the seat of power for the Emperor. The metallic dragons are there, which means the three are involved somehow. There's enough seediness that the Prince of Shadows is going to be digging his fingers in there. And let's be honest, as the seat of the Dragon Empire, the Orc Lord and the Lich King have to overthrow Axis to really take the rest of the Empire. So what are some other thoughts on either those or other Icon involvements?
Well, you know, the Crusader has a large garrison there. And talk about that where it causes a lot of problems. Just because you're an ally, the actual Crusader followers cause a lot of trouble in Axis. Fights happen, and, you know, if you're non-Crusader type thing, so.
Well, in the Tales of the 13th Age adventure, Crusader's Fist actually starts in Axis at a gladiator game.
It does.
Yeah.
And things go awry.
Check it out.
If things don't go awry, there's no adventure.
That's true. It'd be very boring. Yeah. Very boring campaign.
Well, you get up and go about your daily business and go to sleep again.
That's right.
Groundhog
Next
Day.
Next day you get up and
go about your daily business again.
You really want cheese for breakfast and you can't find any.
All right, so we gotta talk about that too.
So, I mean, honestly, with it being the capital of the Dragon Empire, it would be foolish for any Icon not to have a presence in Axis. So with a little bit of creativity, you can bring in any one of the other Icons and have them have an interest or play a role in the goings-on of the city. A couple ones that came to mind for me is it mentions that the Imperial Vizier of the Emperor is named Fire Daughter, and I had the thought, well, maybe she's actually an agent of the three, slowly, subtly guiding the Emperor's decisions. Maybe not the big decisions, but all of the day-to-day stuff, slowly, you know,
taking more and more control.
Exactly. Yeah, moving things in their favor. A past Dwarf King provided all of the mithril mesh curtains that cover up all the cavities and crevices and stuff like that in the volcano. If the city was ever under siege, those curtains would be drawn and be impervious. Well, maybe the Dwarf King wants them back. Or maybe he's coming through and subtly replacing them with a not-quite-so-mithril mesh.
And then trademark.
One of the things like I mentioned, maybe the volcano is about ready to erupt. Maybe the Hydruid wants to come in and encourage that is a way of reinstituting the balance of the land. But the sky's the limit with what you with the Icons that you want to get involved in, how you want to pull them in.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some adventure and campaign ideas. Let's start, though, with Mark has a pretty big issue with one of the things that was written in.
Well, on page 119, everyday details. So talk about currency and climate, street food. Street food. You know, you have, you know, lots of, like most big cities like Rome, bread is a staple. And they sell pockets containing beef and pork and honey. And every, you know, if you're higher up, like Nick talked about earlier, you have your own beehives and, you know, and have the sweet treats for it. But due to a decree, last sentence on that paragraph. Due to decree from an ancient emperor, cheeses are forbidden in imperial residences. And I was like, WTF, mate, no cheese? Why? Are they evil demonic cows? Or is it just a lactose intolerant emperor from another age that has it? So that could be why are there no cheeses in Axis.
That's the focus of Mark's next 13th age game.
That's right.
I think he was just afraid of mice.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it afraid of mice? I mean, why? Why are there no cheeses? Yeah. And is there a deeper, darker secret of why there are no cheeses? So, you know, just a little something. Just a little, who knows, maybe, you know, one of the guys at Pelgrane are lactose intolerant. They're like, no cheeses in Axis.
Well, that'd be a fun thing that you could potentially tie into the rest of your campaign, too. Every time the players are encounter cheese in some way, have it do some nasty something or other.
Yeah, maybe cheese just reacts violently in Axis.
It could be. I mean, you know, and hey, if you're out adventuring, la, 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 you know, you have your trail rations, air quotes. Yeah. And as you come back into town, you forget to dump the cheese, and you get arrested because you've got cheese and you violated the decree.
Yeah, maybe some
might seem silly, but yeah, just there's. Hey, yeah. Believe me, we've got plenty of crazy laws.
An ancient cult of lactomancers.
You never know. Yeah. You never know.
Well, let's talk about some other ideas too. 13 True Ways gives you 13 rumors about Axis that are great ideas for adventures, campaigns.
Do you want to pick one?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys have a favorite?
Jeez.
We've established that the Lactomancer.
Sometimes you read through these and you read that one little line. You're like, what?
What?
No, what?
I liked number 11. There's a particular corner near the Rose Theater in Arena Town. If you turn it, you walk straight into a past era.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The question is, can you get back?
Well, I remember playing another campaign, another game system, where you went into a certain door in a certain
town. The Black Lantern?
The Black Lantern took you places. That was pretty neat. Luckily, we came back, but...
I personally like number 10, that the Great Gold Worm is stuck in a crevasse that leads to the abyss, so how come my friend met him last night in human form at a Sulkport tavern?
And there's always that. I mean, that's an old trope of, the Emperor wants to get the touch of the town, so he goes in disguise, walks around town. Maybe you end up helping him out because he's being chased by
a
pack of devils.
Yeah.
And he gives you something to go.
But if the Great Gold Worm isn't plugging the abyss, then
what if it's
who is?
Dream version of him? Yeah. So we talked about gladiator campaigns. We talked about intrigue and political campaigns a bit. What are some other ones that you could see definitely revolving around Axis as the whole of the campaign?
The Metallic Dragons Revolt. They are sitting up above in their cloud cavern. And they finally, either maybe their contract that they had initiated with a previous emperor is up, or maybe they finally just had enough and they come and sack and raid the city.
Yeah. One of the ideas I had was going to kind of the Elric mentality, which I kind of see a little bit in here already, that there are fewer metallic dragons, they're sleeping longer kind of a thing. The Archmage knows that they need to be roused, but it requires some long, drawn-out ritual that the players get sucked into.
Yeah, or kind of that trope is they're not seen, and people think they're just sleeping because they're only roused at times of great danger, and then the Emperor needs you, so you go up there and... They're not there. They're gone.
Oh.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Where are they? No one knows it. And again, maybe the Orc Lord has an attack because he's got those damn dragons. And he doesn't know that they're missing.
Yeah.
Where are they?
So maybe one of the other things I was thinking of is if you kind of recast Axis and the Dragon Empire into a little bit more authoritarian figure than he is in this. Maybe not as far as a dictator, but, shifted a little bit more towards that. Prince of Shadows, Revolutionary or Thieves Guild, all in the city. Orc spies, spies for the Orc Lord. Maybe you've infiltrated the Gladiator Arena as a way to infiltrate the nobility. Something like that. The Priestess ties in there real well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the eyes of the Stone Thief is in Axis.
Oh, and that leads into another good way to use Axis as a stopping point on your campaign. Either a place to start, or if you're, fighting the Orc Lord, a great place to have a final siege at the epic tier. You would need to check out the Pelgrane Press article that they just released on mass combat, which I highly recommend everybody check out. It's a pretty slick way to start that.
You could tie in your Eyes of the Stone Thief, at the very epic battle. You need to stop it before it devours Axis or parts of Axis.
Yeah.
That wouldn't go over well.
So what happens, we kind of talked about Axis as a point of the campaign. What happens if Axis gets destroyed in your campaign? Mark, how would you deal with the fallout of that?
Crusader takes over.
Crusader just takes over?
That's right. New capital. Follow me.
Mark has
the dictator.
Yeah. Mark has all three of his relationship dice in a positive relationship with the Crusader. Not his character. Mark has that has all of his dice in that.
That's right.
I probably would vote for the three.
The three would take over?
They've been subtly working in the background. They finally, they won over the Metallics, and all hell breaks loose. Comes down, and they institute their control.
See, I would go with all hell breaks loose and have the Diabolus take over. Play up that whole, she does evil, but kind of for good reasons that no one really understands. And so she takes over, and maybe she brings the devils in as her personal police force to rule the Dragon Empire.
Well, that would be fun.
Well, I think all three of our ideas would be fun.
Well, and that even if there wasn't a like large-scale battle that takes place over who controls Axis, the 13th rumor about Axis is the Emperor is dead. Long live the Emperor. Who's going to take his place?
Yeah. Maybe one of your players finds out that they're actually the bastard son of the Emperor next in line. It would be interesting to see kind of take the Emperor out of the icon level, make him a character or a more relatable NPC, and see what other icon would kind of move up to take its place. If the Emperor isn't an icon, well, who is?
Yeah, and we talked about maybe there aren't any dragons up there. Maybe there really isn't an Emperor. Maybe it's just a placeholder.
Mm. All right.
I want to take my player all the way up to Epic Tier and have him be the Emperor.
That always sounds like fun as a player until you just don't go adventuring anymore. So it's like, oh, I got to create a new character.
That's why I have Axe, so that when you actually get up there, you have things you have to do. All right, guys, any other thoughts on Axis?
If any of our listeners have some ideas on how to use Axis or some ways that they've used it creatively in the past, we would love to hear about it. So leave a comment on the website or on their Google Plus post, and let's engage on that.
Let us know what your favorite cheese is.
Yes, have that be our next question.
Our next poll will be, what is your favorite cheese and why do you think it is missing from Axis? Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us at whitedragon@iconicpodcast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.